Father Yahweh, thank you for all the wonderful blessings that you've given us this week. We know that our prayer requests before the meeting work because Yeshua fulfills them through your Holy Spirit. We ask that your Holy Spirit come on Bill's teaching today and upon us as we get into the talk on personal faith in the third part here. Mm-hmm. And we ask your blessing on those of us who can't be here tonight. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm going to continue finishing up about our position, the power that we can enjoy, and the beauty of Yahweh's promises and His covenant for us. We can just look through, and we're going to look through the Word this evening and further demonstrate His power, that He is so willing and ready and willing to share with us, to allow us to participate in these kinds of things. So I want to just start out with this wonderful thing that Smith Wigglesworth told us about last week. I just want to repeat it really quickly because it's so beautiful and it just puts us on a different level. I just like the fact that we are not mired here in this earthly mud because we're citizens of a higher place and a place that we've been promised, and it's wonderful. But he said here, I just want to repeat this again, Smith Wigglesworth had this wonderful idea of living the ascension life. I just can't get over this. I read this over every week, just about, and it just gives me a feeling of completeness. It just boosts my energy and my will and my faith as far as that's concerned. He goes on to say here, in the first place, I believe that we will all grasp the truth that we are not our own, and that's in 1 Corinthians 6:19. We talked about this last week. And in the second place, we belong to a spiritual order. We don't belong to the earth. And not only that, but our minds and our bodies. Our whole position through the eternal spirit always have to be on the ascending position. To descend is to be conformed to this world. To ascend is to be transformed. And we may, by the power of the Spirit, as Yahweh gives us revelation, and our revelation is found here in the Word, we can look at it every day. We can see what the promises are, what's going on now, what's already transcended. We can be lifted up into a very blessed state of fellowship with Yahweh, power with His Son, Yeshua. And in that place of power with both the Father and the Son, we will have power over everything else. For we have all power over the earth after we have plugged in. We have assumed that power with Yahweh. We know that we are heavenly citizens. We know we have to exit this earth and have been preparing for our exit. Yet while we're on this earth, and of course we all know that we're coming back into this earth, it's going to be heaven on earth. We must live in the place where we groan over everything. This evening, we're groaning. We're complaining. We're discouraged. But yet again, we groan over everything that binds us from being loosed from this world. Man, it just makes me excited. I just love this position that He puts us in. But now what we want to do is, we want to consider the state of our spiritual walk, our individual spiritual walk, the condition of our health, our spiritual health. And in 1 Timothy, there is a goodly business about talking about this. I want to read this little thing that I had from the Daily Word, or Daily Bread, I think it was actually. Listen to this. Many of us advertise for Jesus, but our spiritual houses are in disrepair. We may attend church and speak in Christianese, a Christian language, but when our conduct does not align with our hearts, our first-class behavior is just a performance of piety. When Jesus talked to the Pharisees, he said in Matthew 23:28, he said, "You outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." That's a sad state, isn't it? We've got to be careful about that. So careful. He also went on in 1 Timothy. Jesus had an equally direct message for his followers, and he says, "Do not be like the hypocrites." The Bible encourages us to love from a pure heart and from sincere faith. 1 Timothy 1:5. And these inner attitudes should pour out through our words and actions. The words and actions that we can imitate, and we have a model, don't we? Yeshua's our model. Those inner attitudes we found in Luke 6:45. So that's something we've got to consider all the time. We've got to be very careful about that. Now, let's talk about the road to power. And I'm talking here about the power that Yeshua has given us through the Holy Spirit. We can assume that part of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me see, I've got something here. Yes. Here again, a little excerpt from my daily bread, our daily bread. This is a personal family devotion. I don't know if many of you are familiar with it. It's been published since 1956. It's by the RBC Ministries out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. But here, the avenue to power. And the scripture is 2 Corinthians 12. Lana, would you look up 2 Corinthians chapter 12? And basically, this scripture is included from 1 to 10. Go ahead and start. Read verse 1 through 10. And the main thrust is 2 Corinthians 12:9. So start.
It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
That the power of Christ may rest upon me.
Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
There you go. That's a beautiful scripture, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Beautiful scripture. So, what we have to do, we have to entrust our future, don't we? We have to entrust our day-to-day existence. And there's so many scriptures that we can read about the fact that He is our stronghold, He is our refuge, He is our fortress. He's prepared us. There's a little story here about this avenue to power. A little girl had said that she would someday, she had a growing fear. This little lady had a growing fear. A lot of us have, every once in a while, we talk about thorns in the flesh. Each one of us probably has something like that. She had a fear that she would someday battle cancer. And so she began to pray, asking God to spare her from this imagined illness. And sometimes the things that we are worried about they're not true. They're not going to happen to us. But we get all concerned about it. We hear about somebody else having a problem. Or in Leah's case, a doctor says, well, you know, this is possible, and that's possible. And, you know, so people get all excited. So she began to pray. This little lady began to pray about this. And she reached a turning point in her thinking, and she yielded her future to God no matter what. And that's what we got to do. Years later, the doctor found that she was fighting a cancerous tumor. And it was successfully treated with chemotherapy. But Tara said, the little girl said, because she had entrusted her future to God, she was ready when the disease came along. Her problem became an avenue for God's strength. Mm-hmm. Just, that's what it is. And Paul talked about that. Paul prayed repeatedly about his difficulty, pleading for God to take it from him. And God responded, my grace, in verse 9, is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And each one of us is, we have to acknowledge that, of course. If we think that we are stronger and we can face these things by ourselves, we're really... we're saying more than what is really true. Wielding our own power is no substitute for yielding our will to God. That's the bottom line. Now, talking about this gift of grace, Leah, would you look in Micah? Micah chapter 6, we're talking about the fact of that the gift of grace is free, but there is such a thing as acts of gratitude. What should our response be when we know that we're filled with these gifts, these powers? How should we act? What should we be doing? Micah tells us what God wants us to do. Micah 6:8. Yes. Micah 6:8. It's something we repeat all the time.
Yeah, there's a little ditty, the little song I learned, and it goes with it.
No, he has told you what he wants, and this is all it is, to be fair and just and merciful and to walk humbly with your God.
Yes.
Yep.
To act justly. Walk humbly with Yeshua. His desire for us, of course, is multifaceted. I have something here from Dake's Plan for Man, God's Plan for Man by Dake. It's got some beautiful things in it. He talks about something here. What's God's desire for men and women? His desire that we should yield completely to Him, cooperating wholeheartedly with Him for the highest of all beings and of the universe. It is God's highest will. Everybody says, oh, well, if it's God's will, it'll happen, you know. And how do we know for sure what God's will is? Well, God's will is right in the Word. We just open up the Word and there it is. It's God's highest will to give to all men liberally, without rebuking, for asking any and everything that they want for their good and His glory. And I can give you some scriptures there. James, it's in James 1:4. 3 John, 2nd chapter. John is full of it. John is in... these kinds of things are reiterated in John 14, John 15, John 16, Mark 9:23, and Mark 11. He goes on to say, when men ask, they cannot ask amiss, or ask selfishly, when they are consecrated to the same end to which God is consecrated, the best good of all creation. Those who act amiss may be adulterers or adulteresses who seek to consume God's blessing upon their own lust. And that's, James talks about that in James chapter 4. It is impossible to ask amiss when one asks in faith. Nothing wavering, for he will only ask in harmony with God and His promises. This, of course, implies that he has been born again and is fully consecrated to God and to the best good of his own being and that of society in which he dwells. It's right there. Now, Porphy, would you look up, man? Do you have your Bible?
No, but I got this.
You got a Matthew, or Olga, you have one. Matthew 22nd, the 22nd verse. Okay. And Mark, 1 John 4:8, please.
That was Matthew 22:22 for Porphy.
Yeah, Matthew 22, and starting with verse 37.
37?
Porphy, yeah. 37, 38, and 39, if you want to read about that.
Matthew 22?
Yes. Starting in verse 37.
37 or 27?
37.
Oh, 37
through 39.
Yeah, 239.
And he said to him, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim, right? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second, like unto it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And these two commandments, the whole law ends, and the prophets.
Just goes to show us our primary responsibility. The first commandment. We've got a whole bunch of commandments that we have to follow. Are obligated to. And that is, these are done in love, these commandments. You know, I mean, we can't be a hypocrite about it and do one thing right 1 week, and the next week, well, we'll stretch it this week, we'll do a little, we'll quite, you know, he'll forgive us. Well, we've got to be careful about making a habit of asking for allowances and for his forgiving, because it's come to a point where he won't accept it. He just won't accept it. Leah, what? Oh, Mark, you got that first. John 4:8. What does that have to say about our heart?
Something to do with New English translation, it says, the person who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Very basic thing, isn't it? Here again, we're talking about the love, his love first, and then we've got that same love. And we've got to show that same forgiveness. It's a hard thing. I have a hard time with that. I think everybody does. We've all been hurt by somebody, especially in our own family. We've always had.
I just thought of somebody today that I had, that I realized I wasn't happy with, that I had to forgive. And I thought, oh, forgive me. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit brings
our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against
us.
That's it.
It's very simple. This whole thing is so simple, but it's got to be heartfelt. Mm-hmm. It's got to be ingrained. It's just got to be a response. It will be as we grow. As our faith grows and as we go along in life, we can see how wonderfully it works.
You don't intentionally try to hurt those you love.
No. No. Not if you have accepted and you've been sanctified. Yeah, and consecrated with God. No, you can't, because
because he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and keep my teachings. And so love isn't just being all affectionate towards another person. I mean, what is love? Well, that is love, is being obedient.
That's right. Obedient. Being trusting.
All those
trusting
teachings.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And having his word like inscribed on our hearts, and the spirit of the law, not just the letter of the law. I was reading about that today. Because the Pharisees can do the letter of the law, but they didn't have the spirit of the law.
No. I mentioned before about God creating men that he might be prosperous, healthy, successful, happy, wise, and blessed with all good things that he could wish for his life. And Yahweh created all things and gave them all to men to use for his own good and pleasure. And there's going to be some backsliding every once in a while. I used to call this friend of mine a backslider. It was just in fun. And it's still, sometimes. But we got to be careful about that. one of the things that I've had a problem with is being critical and judgmental. And I think we all have a little problem with that, and that's something we've got to be very careful about. The people that backslide when prosperous, or when they're healthy, or they're happy, they'll backslide any time. So that if a few do backslide, when God blesses them with something, let us not lose faith in the abundant love and providence of God. We must all learn to live Christian lives under all conditions. Man, especially when you're working, with the public, you're going to come up against the biggest challenges. It's something else. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes you wonder, but you know, God, Yahweh, and Yeshua, they allow these things, these trials and tribulations. We've mentioned that before. They allow it for your own growth. And they allow it because, in a lot of cases, you have some insight on a problem that they might be having that they just hadn't thought about. Something that you just turn a light on for them sometimes, and that's our job. I still love to sing that little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? Oh, no. Don't let Satan blow it out. You know? I mean, it's a simple thing, but that
You might still like to sing it, but I still like when the first graders do it.
My son, that's right. My grandson, that's what we do. We sing that together. So, let me just go on here. We've got a few things left that I want to bring up, but... And I want to talk about just a little bit more about God's plan, Yahweh's plan for us. And let me just tell you what Dakes talks about here. Excuse me. He talks about the plan of God being simple, and that the will of God is made plain in the Word. And there is no excuse for ignorance because the Bible is the truth. And if we read it, we're getting the truth. And there's no excuse for failure to get what we want because he's made us a promise. But he says, you have a part to do. This is where I'm talking about, our responsibility. Remember that you have a part to do in attaining the benefits for which Yeshua died. The plan is simple. The will of God is revealed and made plain. You are not in ignorance of what to do, and you should recognize mentally that there is no excuse for any failure if you will obey that truth. Right here in the Word. It says, going on, he says, you must do more than give mental assent. You must act upon it with all your heart, your soul, and strength, and take the necessary steps before you can experience what you want. Nothing is impossible with God. We talked about Him being on a different level. And He is. He's got it. So, okay. In that regard, sometimes we wonder about prayer. We've been praying for something maybe for weeks, months, even years. I know a man that's been praying for a situation for years. But Isaiah talks about Isaiah 55, Lana. Would you look at that? Isaiah 55:9. And Leah, Romans 11, 26 through 36.
Okay, Isaiah 8 and 9 kind of go together.
Yes, they do.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
That's the thing. That's why I'm talking about this ascending, the ascension plan, the ascension that we're talking about. The spiritual condition. Understanding where he's coming from. Not getting disappointed when something doesn't happen immediately. Leah, and that you've got what there? What did they give you?
They gave me Romans 11:26.
Yes. Yes. Would you give us that?
And then all Israel will be saved. Do you remember what the prophet said about this? There shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and he shall turn the Jews from all ungodliness. At that time I will take away their sins, just as I promised. Now many of the Jews are enemies of the gospel. They hate it. But this has been a benefit to you, for he has resulted in God's giving his gifts to you Gentiles. Yet the Jews are still beloved of Yahweh because of his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. He will never go back on his promises. Once you were rebels against God, but when the Jews refused his gifts, God was merciful to you instead. And now the Jews are the rebels, but someday they too will share in God's mercy upon you. For God has given them all up to sin so that he could have mercy upon all alike. Mm-hmm. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his wisdom and knowledge and riches. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods. For who among us can know the mind of the Lord? Who knows enough to be his counselor and guide? And who could ever offer to the Lord enough to induce him to enact? For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything is for his glory. To him be glory evermore.
There you go. Amen for that. That's right.
Both my translations say amen, so I just had to throw it in
there.
The NET and the WE. Yes. New English translation and the World English.
36. 26 to 36. Because I can hear to go.
Yes, it's, yeah, that's right.
You know, the last one that, Lana read for us in Isaiah 55 there. Mm-hmm. You could almost go all the way back. You could almost go back to the beginning of every verse of every chapter of everything when you're trying to pull stuff out.
That's right.
But that's that starting with verse 6 is really kind of the admonition that we need to be getting across to people as we witness to him today, because those two verses there,
yes,
is to seek the Lord while he makes himself available.
Seek the Lord.
Call to him while he's nearby. The wicked need to abandon their lifestyle and sinful people their plans. They should return to the Lord, and he will show mercy to them and to their God, for he will freely forgive them.
People don't want to repent.
No, they don't.
They don't want to change. They're having,
they don't want to change their lifestyles or anything. They go to church, Catholic church, and then they're over there at the bars.
Oh, brother.
Playing bingo, casino, whatever.
But that's right.
I have a sister.
Yeah, you know.
There's a lot
that's
of that.
A Catholic church, and then goes.
Well, that's the hypocrites. That's that's really
exactly
what that means. Is you're
and
saying
I can't tell
one
her
thing
nothing.
And doing
I sent her a message one time to them. She goes to me, "What are you talking about? Who's this? Yahweh, Yahshua, Yahshua,
oh,
Yahweh."
Definitely,
Yahweh.
Oh, certainly.
And I responded, "I just let it go, but I let her know."
Well, we have to be a kind word will rebuff anger from somebody. So that's just the other way to look at it. But, you know, all things are possible for us when we believe. And that's Mark 9:23 throughout the chapter of Mark 9. And then here's something that we've got to be careful about. Don't lay the blame on God for any failure. Don't blame Him. Listen to this. Some people constantly maintain that they have all the faith in the world and that they do not waver, and yet their prayers are not answered. It is sometimes hard to get such people not to blame God for the failure and to take the blame to themselves seriously enough to consider that they could be wavering. The first thing to do in such a case is for man to clear Yahweh of all blame and take it himself. This will show a degree of honesty as well as intelligence on the part of man by first solving the problem of where the failure really is. If God has said that He will hear without exception, if our faith is unwavering and we exercise that faith, then the blame cannot be upon Him. No doubt about it. We can't blame Him for anything. We just want to give Him the credit. Job is a primary person that went through the suffering thing. And of course we know a little bit about that story. I just want to bring a couple of points up to you in that regard. And suffering is going to continue throughout our life. There is no doubt about it. And we've got to be careful when we think, oh, God sent this suffering. God does not send suffering. But, by the same token, God will allow it. And I told you before about the fact that He allows some of these things for our own good. Job's experience was no excuse. He talks about his experience here. He says it's no excuse for us to live in defeat. And it says thousands of sick and defeated Christians many times use Job and his suffering as the divine pattern for all men to be content in sickness and calamity. I've got an older lady that just says, oh boy, that's the way it is. And the Lord put this on me, and I'll accept it, and I'll just go along, and I'll bear it. Some of these people use him as an excuse to continue in defeat and unbelief. So we got to be careful about that. That's not his will. They oppose God's word and contend that they must be in the will of God, and they are special subjects of God's grace when in times of sickness, pain, or failure, even in business. They miss altogether the true teaching of that Job experience. God never intended men to use the case of Job for any such a purpose. God intended for all men to see how He is glorified, how He was glorified by Job, not in sickness and calamity, but in deliverance. And we know about Job. You could talk about a couple, 3 hours about Job. And I won't go on any further than that because you guys know. And it is a good study. And it's something that at some point maybe we might expound on. The law of faith must be obeyed. It's an unchangeable law of God that one must believe exactly what he asks in order to receive it. It would be impossible for a sinner to be saved unless he first believes that it is God's will to save him, and that salvation takes place when he confesses his sin. Romans 10, you know the Roman road. In like manner, it is impossible for one to be healed unless he believes it is the will of God and that it is done when he prays. It is done when he prays. It's beautiful. All right. I'm just going to finish up here talking about... Porphy, would you look up Psalm 145? Psalm 145. Uh-huh. Verse 18. Yeah. And in here, this talks about God, Yahweh, never being too busy. When you call him up, you're never going to get a busy signal and say, leave a message on my message board or in my whatever you want to call it.
Yahweh is near to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him.
That's right.
He also will hear their cry and will save them.
Yes. Am I right? The Lord is near to all. The Bible here in the Psalms reminds us that we can take comfort in the fact that our God is deeply concerned with what concerns our hearts. When we call out to him, we will never get a disinterested response. He's never going to say, well, call me back next week. Or maybe I'll think about it. And also, would you look up Isaiah again, Mark? Isaiah 55. We did something with Isaiah 55 before, but Romans 11. Did we do it Romans 11,
yes.
33? Okay. Talking about unanswered prayers. Yeah, okay, that's all right then. Mark, forgive that, as you were there on that. Well, would you look up instead, go to Colossians 1 and verse 3 through 6. We're going to end with that this evening. Colossians 1. 3 through 6, and it's anything there. We're going to celebrate the fruit of the Spirit.
We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard about your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. Your faith and love have arisen from the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard about in the message of truth, the gospel. That has come to you. Just as in the entire world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, so it has also been bearing fruit and growing among you from the first day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth.
Yes, we'll end with that. Yep.
Shame on
you. I'm gonna turn it off.
Well, that might in the car. Mine is my daughter-in-law.
That's all right. That's the way it goes.
Let me text her.
Okay, guys. Let's stand and
I left this the last time.
Have a prayer.
I've been looking for it. I don't know nothing. Forget. Randy's a quick man.
You want to? No? Ring around the roses, we'll fall down.
Leah, would you ask a closing prayer? Yeah. please.
Yes, Yahweh, we come before you through your son's name, Yeshua. We thank you for this blessed night. We thank you for this time together. And please watch over all who cannot be with us tonight. We lift up all who are in the prayer request to you. And we ask that you continue to bless us this week and help us to be sources of light in this darkened world.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Help us to stand up and help our children. Mm-hmm. Help us to be role models for our children and help our children to not be afraid and to speak what they need to speak and stand up for what's right.
Yes.
Protect our children and keep them safe.
Thank you.
And protect all our loved ones all over who are not with us. I ask a blessing upon all our family members all over and congregations all over the world who are going through great persecution and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
We lift them up to you in prayer also.
Yes.
We thank you for all things. We thank you for this blessed night. And we're looking forward to our Passover soon, Yahweh.
Yes, we do.
And we just ask you to watch over us all. Bless us. Help us to be sources of light. Say all this.
Amen.